Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, I want to read a verse of scripture today. Not Acts chapter 2? Well, we'll get around to that, but Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. Anybody want to be saved? Well, yeah. Amen. That ought to have been unanimous. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven where we live, given among men whereby we must, not might, could be, should be, but whereby we must be saved. And so for a few moments today, I'm just going to preach to you, and it's a Pentecost Day message. There is no other name. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's pray right now. Lord, we love you and thank you and honor you today. You are worthy of all the glory. And we're so thankful for that name that is above every name. And Lord, we bow today while we're here to that name and believe that you are the Lord. God, today touch our minds and our hearts. Lord, let us just be filled with your Spirit all over again. We're going to praise you for the great things you're doing today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. If you love that name, give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Praise God. Thank you for being here today and just worshiping the Lord. And thank you to our music and our praise team. We just appreciate you guys so much for what y'all do, leading us in worship. I thank you for that. Neither is there salvation in any other. Well, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I tell you, salvation is taken so lightly today. Now, we sung it today. We sang in these songs today that there's one way to God. And we believe that because Jesus said, I am the way. And he said, no man can come to the Father but by me. So there's one way to God. But you would think the way modern Christianity is that there's many ways to God, that there's many ways to be saved. People are so afraid of offending or being offended that instead of just saying, well, this is what the Bible says and sticking to it, that they just decide, well, you know, they'll be saved their way, I'll be saved my way, and we should just all live together in harmony. And we should live together in harmony, and we should live at peace with one another. But we cannot change what the Scripture says. And there is only one way to be saved. And if the name is not connected with it, we're just treading water. Hello? Because he said, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, I wish I had somebody that loved that name. Come on. I wish I had somebody that believed that name today. I had somebody ask me one time. They were visiting. They didn't really know anything about church, and they came and visited here, and I was sitting talking with them after service, and they said, why did you choose the Pentecostal denomination? Well, I really didn't choose it. I didn't choose a denomination. I didn't know anything much about any kind of church, really. I ended up in an apostolic Pentecostal church, and God met me there. But I told them, I said, here's the answer that I'll give you. I said, after I attended this church, I believed what they preached, and I chose to live by this way because everything that they preached, they could show me in my Bible. It was in there. When they told me I needed to be baptized in Jesus' name, they turned right to the Scriptures and showed me that's where I need. When they told me that that I needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, they could turn right to the Scripture and show me. They could show me in my Bible. I could open my Bible and say, show me in my Bible. And they could show me and back up everything that they preached and taught through the Scripture. They didn't take one Scripture, close their book, and then twist that Scripture around until it fit the congregation that they were preaching to. My pastor just simply preached the truth. He preached the name of Jesus. He preached baptism in Jesus' name. He preached miracle signs and wonders in Jesus' name. He preached that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He preached the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given. And there ain't going to be another name given. It's that name. It's that name of Jesus. And you know, people that served God always knew that it was His name that got His attention. Even in Genesis chapter 4, the last scripture in Genesis chapter 4, I believe it's verse 26, it says, "And then men began to call on the name of the Lord." People realized that I've got to call on that name. He's always been God. He's always been Jehovah. And when he came and dwelt in flesh on this earth as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jehovah Savior, friend, there is no other name. There is no other name. The thing is that in this book, there is a truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way and I am the truth." Yeah, isn't that what He said? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's the truth. He is the way and He is the truth. His Word is truth. And the walking, living, flesh, Word of God that dwelt among us, friend, let me tell you, that's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is a truth and there is a gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. Friend, it don't change. There's not another gospel. Paul warned us. He said there'll be people trying to come in and take away what you've got, and they're going to come in and try to preach another gospel. He said, but it's not a gospel, because the gospel means the good news, and it's not good news because it's distracting people away from what the truth is. And friend, in the day and time, As it begins closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, we cannot just hope that people are just going to trip and find their way into the truth. But it's time that we start telling people that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. How can I get my sins washed away? Well, you can't do it by repeating after me, but you can do it by being baptized in this water in the name of Jesus, and the blood of the Lamb of God will wash your sin away. It is still the blood of Jesus that washes us from all sin. There's no other name. There's no other name. This gospel won't ever change. And I told them this in our pre-service meeting and prayer house. Pentecostal Apostolic Church, we ain't got no monopoly on anything. This truth was given to those, before there was ever any denominational lines drawn, any organizations, anybody was writing papers and doing things and starting wars over it. Before any of that happened, Jesus said, "Hey, 12, hey, 120, hey, disciples, listen, this is what I want you to do." In Luke chapter 24, at 46, He said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise the dead from the third day." That's the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, that's had to happen. And now that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. What's His name? Jesus. Come on. Ain't no other name given. No other name's given. Should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It began at Jerusalem, but it hasn't ended. Hello? Before there was a UPCI, before there was an Assemblies, before there was a WPF, before there was a First Baptist, a First Methodist, before there was a Catholic Church, there was a man, Christ Jesus, telling His disciples, "Go and preach repentance and remission of sins in Jerusalem, preach it in my name, because there's never going to be another name given whereby men must be saved. And I don't care what they hang on their door, what they hang on their sign. If they're preaching baptism in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost, they're preaching the gospel. I've got friends and I've got relatives, and they're Baptist or Methodist, and I love them to death. I just wish they would preach what the Bible said. I don't hate them. I won't fight them. I'll never fight them. I'll never choke them and argue with them and shake them. Friend, I'll just love them. But I wish that they would just look at the Bible and see what it says. And it plainly says there is no other name connected with salvation than the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, preach it, beginning at Jerusalem, but then preach it to all nations. It began in Jerusalem, but it found its way to Athens, Georgia. Hello? It began in Jerusalem, but it found its way on the campus over at UGA. That night we was baptizing people in the fountain in the name of Jesus. And we was praying people through the Holy Ghost in the chapel. The same thing that Jesus told them to preach, we were preaching it over 2,000 years later, and it still works. It began in Jerusalem, but it found its way to Winterville. Because I could pull that little book I've got in there out, and I could start reading you names of people that heard the gospel and they were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, because it still works and it's still the only plan of salvation that the Bible gives us. We got to preach it. Acts 2:36. Peter had been preaching the gospel. He had preached about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? People still ask today, what shall we do? But the answer hasn't changed. A lot of people have changed the answers. Just look at their pamphlets. Just look on their websites. Just listen to what they tell you. Read their commentaries. Read their books. And they get all kind of different answers now. But here is the only answer that's worth giving. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why that name? Because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. His name. His name. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Must be saved. That must kept sticking with me while I was studying, and it brought me back to John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus said, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Born of water is baptism. Born of the Spirit should be filled with the Holy Ghost. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, you can't enter into the kingdom of God unless you're saved. Salvation must be attached to being born of water and born of the Spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's who we are now. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's when we become the children of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. To be born of water is to be baptized in his name. To be born of the Spirit is to receive the Holy Ghost. Both of these are essential for our salvation. You can't have one or the other. You've got to have them both. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see that they were very adamant. You've got to have them both. Philip was in a great revival. He said, man, we're having great revival, signs, wonders, and miracles. I've baptized them in the name of the Lord, but they haven't received the Holy Ghost. So he sent for the apostles and told them to come down, and they came and laid their hands on them, and they were filled with the Spirit of God and began to speak in other tongues. Peter was preaching to Cornelius in his house. While he preached, the Holy Ghost fell. They began to speak in other tongues. He said, who can forbid water that these should not be baptized as we are? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, because he don't want you to be to receive half of it. He wanted you to have all of it. We must be born again. Both are essential to salvation, and both are in his name. Baptism is in his name. That's what he said in Luke chapter 24 and 46 and 47. He said that you preach remission of sins in my name. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the baptism. It's in his name. In John 14 and 26, Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Ghost will come in my name. He stood at the great day, that last day of the feast, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he said, this he spake of the Holy Ghost. They had no idea. It hadn't been given yet. But Jesus said that they that believe on me should receive it. Believe in who? In him, in his name. Praise God. I'm thankful for the name. I'm thankful for the name. And if we are saved, it will be through his name and faith in his name. And that's what he preached on the day of Pentecost. He preached it in Jesus' name. It gives a little insight to why the angel would tell these new parents, Mary and Joseph. He said, hey, this is what you're going to name this child, Matthew 1 and 23. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation, or Jehovah Savior. He's told them he's got to have a specific name because he is going to be the Savior of the world. He is going to save people. They're going to call on his name. I'm thankful today at the name of Jesus. People are being saved still today. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. What gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a nameless gospel. He that believeth, believes what? Believes the gospel, believes on his name, and is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. In his name? You know why they speak in tongues in his name? Because the Holy Ghost comes in his name. You know why they're saved after they're baptized, when they're baptized? Because they're baptized in his name. Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. People don't believe that baptism is essential for salvation. And yet, written in red in my Bible, I wouldn't care if it was written in purple. It doesn't matter the color of those words on that page, but this signifies that this is Jesus himself speaking. And why would I try to be saved any other way than the way Jesus said to be saved? There's no other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. He was talking about how God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. And he said, 8 souls were saved by water. Saved by water. That was Noah's day. That was then. That's a shadow of what was coming. And then Peter, who preached that message on the day of Pentecost, said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now. See, we want to think about, that was for them then. This letter wasn't even written to us, but it was written for us. And the word, it doesn't get old. It's living, breathing, it's existing. It's forever settled in heaven. And when he said that they now baptism does save us, it's just like saying, hey, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now faith. If we can't apply the now right here, we can't apply it there either. We have to say, well, there's no more faith because, you know, that letter was written a long time ago. And so I guess we're not the sons of God because that now was written a long time ago, but it was written for us as we read it. And he says, right now it's still the same. It hasn't changed. But baptism doth also now save us. Why? Because it's in the name of Jesus, which is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. In Romans 8 and 11, if you're wondering about the spirit side of it, Did I give you Romans 8 and 11? I think I did. But if the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Anybody want to get up when the trumpet sounds? Let me ask you this, are the unsaved going to be raptured? No. No. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Dead in Christ are going to rise first. Well, how do you get in Christ? He said we're baptized into Christ, the Scripture does. So the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us that are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them in the air. Why? Because the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus up dwells in us. Those that are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, been baptized in Jesus' name, washed in His blood, we're going to be caught away one day, but we've got to have His Spirit. And if that ain't enough for you, the Scripture says, without the Spirit, we are none of His. Well, there's not going to be those that are none of His going. But I'm going. And I want you to know today that if you don't have that Spirit, you can have it today. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you can be baptized today. You can do what the Bible says to do. And if your friends and family and loved ones say, why did you do that? You've been going to church a long time. I told you, in that upper room, there's a lot of people that Jesus had blessed their lives and touched their lives, but something else was coming. Yep, and there's people everywhere. People aren't just born out of the womb, you know, apostolic and knowing this truth. People start everywhere. They come from, they might be agnostic, they might even be atheist, they might be Catholic or Baptist or Methodist, or they might even be Pentecostal. They might be Church of God. But somewhere they see the truth of the gospel and they repent of their sins and they're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's in the Bible, and the Bible still works. The Scripture still works. And if you hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name, it don't mean you don't have faith in God. It don't mean that He hasn't touched your life. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love you or that you don't love Him. But now you have seen in the Scripture that there's no other name under heaven given where I can be saved. I must be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I must be born of water and I must be born of the Spirit, because there's no other name under heaven given whereby I'm going to be saved. You've got to do it. I've got to do it. I had to do it. I did it. And I thank God for it. Thankful for it today. Without His Spirit, we're none of His. I'm glad I got it. You know, the Scripture says the servant's not greater than his master. I'm not greater than Jesus. I can't expect, you know, the Bible says He suffered all things that we suffer in His flesh. He's not a high priest that doesn't understand, but He knows about our infirmities. He's suffered all the things that we've suffered, and the Scripture says we would suffer with Him. But there's another thing that He did to give us an example. When Jesus was baptized, now look, He was sinless. We know He was. And He didn't have to be baptized. That was the argument that John gave Him when He came to John the Baptist and said, I need to be baptized. And He said, whoo, He said, I need to be baptized by you, because I know who you are. You're the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world, and I need to be baptized by you. But it's not time for that yet, John. But we must fulfill all righteousness. Now, I want you to catch this. John's baptism was the baptism of repentance. That's what Peter preached, repentance. And that's what Jesus told him to preach, repentance. Repentance didn't go away with John, but the baptism of repentance did. John's baptism was repentance, so Jesus was being baptized, even though He didn't have to be, until the baptism of repentance. It says He came up out of the water. That means He was immersed in the water. He was buried in the water, as we are. But when He came out, there was two things. There was a physical evidence that they could see. A dove descending upon Him, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and there was a sound. There was a voice that said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the day of Pentecost, they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Filled the house where they were sitting. They heard a sound. They saw cloven tongues of fire set upon each of them. They saw a visible sign. And then there was a voice. The voice of 120 believers speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And the Bible says in Romans 8 and 16 that the Spirit itself bears witness that we are the children of God. Just like that voice then, that's when he let the world know, this is my son. When did he do that? Not when he went in the underwater, after he came out and the Spirit began to descend. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is my son. Friend, let me tell you, we receive, the scripture says, the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We become his child. I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Yes, I do, so my sins can be remitted. I need to repent and be baptized. But then I need to receive the Spirit so I can be his child. The Spirit doesn't wash your sin away. The Holy Ghost doesn't take sin away. It doesn't. Only the blood of Jesus washes away our sin, and only the blood of Jesus can be applied when we are baptized in that pool. I'm glad we don't have to be baptized every time we make a mistake, or we would all just be wrinkled up and waterlogged, because we'd be getting, it'd just be like a drive-thru. I'd just have a drive-thru out there and say, just come on. Stop by before work, stop by at lunch, stop by after work. I know you had to drive, you was in traffic, so I know you said something. Come on back and get back. I'm glad that after that, if we confess our faults, he's faithful to forgive us our sins. I can come to him because I'm his child now. When he wrote those scriptures, see, a lot of people don't know nothing about God, and somebody says, all you got to do is confess your faults and he's faithful to forgive you. Well, it's true, it just don't apply to you yet, because that letter was written to people who were already saved. We can't be giving people that don't even know God the church's mail. That's the truth. And he's telling people that have been born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit, he's telling them, look, when you make a mistake, you ain't got to go back all the way to the river and get dunked again. You ain't got to do that. If you confess your faults, just like when we make a mistake, we can go to our parents, we can go to them when we're children, we say, I'm sorry for what I've done. They forgive us, and God is faithful to forgive us. But if we're going to be saved, there is only one name, and that is Jesus. There is no other name given whereby we must be saved. The only baptisms that you will find in your Bible, after the resurrection, after he was crucified and after he rose from the dead, they are only in the name of Jesus. You will find them in the book of Acts. I know that the Gospels, well, in the Gospels, and it's before the book of Acts, but the Gospels were written after the Acts of Acts. The book of Acts was going on, and those Gospels weren't even written yet. The day of Pentecost was happening. Matthew had not written his Gospel yet. Luke had not written his Gospel yet. So this is what the church was doing. And so the only recorded obedience that we have from the apostles is in the book of Acts. And this is what they did. They baptized people for the remission of sins. They did it in the name of Jesus. And they laid hands on people in the name of Jesus. And people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is still being poured out. You can look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, which we just read. And about 3,000 souls received that word and were baptized in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 16, the revival in Samaria, they were baptized in Jesus' name. In verses 35 through 38, Philip, he finds this eunuch going across the desert. The Spirit sent him to catch this eunuch riding across the desert. He's reading the Bible. He's reading Scripture. He didn't know a scroll from Isaiah. He doesn't even know what he's reading about. And he says, and Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I if somebody doesn't tell me? Do you know you've got people in your life that they're searching and they're just waiting on somebody that knows to tell them? Explain this to me. I don't understand it. Just tell me. Tell me what he says. And it says right there, Philip took the scroll of Isaiah and he began to preach Jesus. And what was the natural outcome of that? They came by a water hole, and the eunuch said, here's water. What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, nothing stops you. And so they stopped. He said, I believe. They went down in the water, both of them. He baptized him, and the Spirit called Philip away, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, which, according, if you study it out, it's just, in other words, they believe he was filled with the Holy Ghost. and went on his way rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He was rejoicing. You can go there. You can go to Acts chapter 10, again, where Peter was preaching to Cornelius in his house. While he preached Jesus, the Holy Ghost fell. They began to speak in other tongues. And he said, well, that's good, man. They filled the Holy Ghost they have in church. Let's go eat. No, he said, it's not done. If they've been filled with the Spirit, they need to be baptized in his name just like we were. And he commanded that they were be baptized in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 19, Paul found some of John's disciples, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We have not heard if there be a Holy Ghost. Well, how were you baptized? Now, if people love Paul's writings, oh, man, you know, that Roman road that Paul wrote, which really ain't a road at all, but it's a dead end, really. But they love Paul's writings, but yet they ignore what Paul is doing right here. If it's not important to this man who was full of revelation that God hand-picked to be an evangelist and a pastor of churches and a missionary, he hand-picked him and he says, how were you baptized? Well, we got baptized by John. He said, that's good because John baptized unto repentance. That's good. That means you're living a repented life. But he said, you should believe on the one coming after me, and which was Jesus. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. It says, and when they believed, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord. And Paul laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost and spake in other tongues and glorified God and prophesied. Let me tell you, it's still the name of Jesus. He didn't rebuke them, say, you don't have no faith, you don't know nothing. And if you've been baptized before when you were younger and it wasn't in the name of Jesus, well, praise God. That's a step of faith, and thank God for it. But the Bible says the only saving baptism is in the name of Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. One. If there's only one, which one is it? Because Matthew 28, 19, Pastor, it says to be baptized in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. It says, be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Well, what's the name? The name is Jesus. I could, you know, give all this demonstration. If you look up here, you see one vessel, one body. But I am a father, because there sits my son. Yeah, if my mom was here, then I could say, and here you see a son also, because my mother, who normally sits right over there, there she is. And I have a spirit, because this body without a spirit is dead, and I'm not dead, so I've got a spirit. But you don't see one. I got one name. But all three roles, all the fullness of those roles dwells right here. And that's why Paul would write in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. That's one. If I tell you to hold up one, you don't do that. How many is this? How many is that? How many is that? Right. I and my Father are one. That's what he said. So we know, and if you just broke it down, so well, the name of the Son, well, that's Jesus. Okay. Well, the Holy Ghost comes in his name. It's the Spirit of Christ. What's Christ's name? Jesus Christ. Okay, I can figure out. What about the Father? The Bible says there's one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. He's above all. Well, if he's above all, then his name's above all, right? And it pleased the Father to give him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that he is Lord. If he's above all, then his name's above all. Hello. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. If we, and for this, because people, they do this. Well, Jesus said to be baptized in the name of the Father. And that's right, he did. But how many things did he say in a mystery that he revealed later? When he said, destroy this temple, if that's all you read, you have no idea what he's talking about. until you see what they did to him and he's resurrected. You don't know. And they didn't know. Even those that followed him, they didn't know. And so when people read that, they say, yeah, he did read that. But keep reading, because you need to know the name. You need to know that name. What is that name? It is Jesus. And let's just do this. If there is no other name given, we've already established that baptism is essential for salvation. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Like for you, according to baptism, doth also now save us. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. If baptism is connected to salvation, I want to make sure I'm getting the right baptism. Okay? So let's just say, if you're baptized in the titles, asserting that those are names and not titles, then the only saving name's excluded. And it does become what people say. It just becomes an outward show of a profession of faith, which is great because we have to believe. We have to believe. So I'm not against people who have done that. But like I said, there's something more coming. There's something down the road. They got a great book. Could you imagine standing there? What? You know, we read how Abraham blessed his children. The people were about to pass. Abraham would bless his children. They'd bless their children. And what a blessing, man, it was for them to get. But imagine if Jesus blesses you. He leads them out there, and Jesus puts a blessing on them. Woo! That's good. But there was about 500 that got blessed, but only 120 made it to the upper room. 120 said, I like the blessing, but I want the promise. The blessing was good. I enjoyed it. That was yesterday. I want the promise. He said, go somewhere. Keep moving. Head toward the promise. And they went and tarried and waited and were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Just like John said, there's one coming after me. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm thankful for that today. Thankful that I know what it is. I'm glad that I know the name of the Father and the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. It's all in him. It's all in him. Come on. I wish I knew how to sing, but it's all in him. Let me tell you, that's what, when we were singing those songs, those are not just songs that are made up. We're singing scripture. We're singing scripture. And that's why there's power in those songs, because they're truth. And so, call on the name of the Lord. That's all I got to do. The Bible says, if they that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm almost done. If somebody, whoever's playing music, wants to come to the keyboard, and I'll give everybody hope today. But I'm preaching what they preached at Pentecost. And I'm preaching what we need to be preaching today, what we need to be sharing with our friends and our loved ones. If we care about them, we need to be telling them, hey, I know you've got, I don't want to upset them. I don't want to, but don't go fighting. Don't go swinging. Just go and say, here's why I believe what I believe, and show them, because I guarantee you 9 out of 10 of them say, I've never seen these scriptures put together like this. I've never seen. The Bible says the word is here, a little there, a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's there. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. And I can show you more than two or three where baptism in Jesus' name was the only way they baptized in the scripture. Praise God. I'm thankful for it today. But they say, all you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Well, there's a lot of people that call his name out, but they use it as an exclamation, or I know, Pastor, they're not calling in faith, okay. The phrase, and they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, first time you read that will not be when Paul wrote it in the book of Romans. Remember, the book of Romans was written to the church at Rome, not to people who don't know God. But the first time you'll read it will be in Joel chapter 2. The prophet. And what he is prophesying is the outpouring of God's Spirit. And he says in that prophecy that, "And they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The next time you will read that phrase is when Peter is quoting the prophet Joel as he is preaching his message in Acts chapter 2. "And they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Both of those instances talk about the outpouring of the Spirit, and we know that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit was poured out, and they were calling on the name of the Lord, but they were also being baptized in the name of the Lord. That's why Peter made sure he ended his sermon with this: "This same Jesus," and gave him a name, "that you have crucified is both Lord," "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," "and Christ." God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There's only one, and his name is Jesus, and you crucified him. And so they were pricked in their hearts, and that's why people were baptized in the name of Jesus, because that's the name, that's calling upon the name of the Lord. And if that doesn't quite satisfy you, you can go to Acts chapter 22 in verse 16. Paul is giving his testimony. "This is how I was converted. This is how I was saved." And Ananias told Paul when he came to pray for him, because the Lord sent him to him. He said, "Paul, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized." You mean it's not enough that Jesus chose me? We got to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus knocked him down, gave him a vision, chose him, told him he's going to be a preacher, told him all the things he was going to do, filled him with the Holy Ghost. But Ananias said, "Now, so what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins," because that's the only way they're washed away, "calling on the name of the Lord." When Paul references that in his letter in Romans, he's not telling somebody off the street that don't know anything about God, just call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Also, if you go back to Romans chapter 6, he'll tell you that we must be buried with Christ in baptism. We have to be buried with him and then raised up to walk in the newness of life. So when people say, "I just call on the name of the Lord," that's good. But biblically, calling on the name of the Lord for salvation is baptism in Jesus' name. It's Bible. It's Scripture. It was in Joel. He was prophesying about the day of Pentecost that was coming. He didn't know when it would be. He just knew it was coming. He just prophesied according to the Spirit of God. Peter preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he referenced that. Baptized people, 3,000 people that day in the name of Jesus. They kept baptizing people in the name of Jesus. Paul was baptized in the name of Jesus. Why would people be baptized any other way than the name of Jesus? It's the only saving name. Stand with me this morning. On the day of Pentecost, the name of Jesus was preached. People were baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. What was preached then must be preached now. It's not a nameless gospel. It's not a nameless salvation, because we don't serve a nameless God. His name is Jesus, Jehovah Savior. So what was preached then, we must preach today. If we must be born again, that's what Jesus said. If we must be saved, that's what it says in Acts, then it must be in his name, because there's no other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. Jesus doesn't change, does he? Nope. He doesn't change, so neither does his gospel, neither does his plan for salvation. We must be born again. Born of water, born of the Spirit, in his name. Because it is still the only name given whereby we must be saved. I said it earlier, and I don't know. I don't know everybody's situation. I don't know where you are in your life or your walk with God. I have no idea. I don't know. But I do know this, that today, those scriptures have been fulfilled in our ears. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And maybe this is your day to be like they were on the day of Pentecost. Man, I have followed Jesus. I have watched him walk on water. I've watched him cast out. I've been I've got a testimony of what he's done for me. I've done it, but something else was coming. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you can do that today. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues like they were in the scripture, that can happen today. It's for us today. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.